Welcome to the Shiur in Sfarno Parshas Kisisa. The Shiur this evening is dedicated by Janet Rizel and Saul Wenig in honor of their anniversary. Bezus Hashem, they should be zocha to celebrate many, many more. After the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, which we spoke about over the past couple of days, one of the other famous stories described in Parshas Kisisa is the story of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the 13 attributes of mercy. In the context of Moshe Rabbeinu begging forgiveness on behalf of Klal Yisrael for the sin of the golden calf, of the sin of the Egel Azov, so the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches him these attributes, which not only describe how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be merciful in this particular case, but these are attributes which, according to Chazal, Einon chozos reikom, any time that Klal Yisrael needs something, needs to beseech the HaKadosh Baruch Hu for compassion. So these invoking these attributes will never be turned away empty. Will never be turned away empty-handed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always going to respond to them. The Sfarno has some unique understandings of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, what they mean exactly, and how they're applied in the context of the Pasuk. And being that these are psukim that are very, very familiar to us, and we make use of them, we utilize them at various points during the year, I thought it would be worthwhile, in particular, to go through them. So, Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Vav, Pasuk famously says, Vayavar Hashem Apanov, Hashem passed over the face, he passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra, and he called out, Hashem, Hashem. Now we should point out that there are a huge number of opinions in the Rishonim as to how to divide up the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. You know, in the Sefer Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not do us the favor of numbering the 13 attributes of mercy. You know, there's no, if you open up a Sefer Torah, it doesn't say 1, 2, 3. And there are many, many different ways to understand which is 1, which is 2, you know, how to count them exactly. They're very widely varying from one another. One of the issues which is discussed already in Tosfos, on the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, is the repetition of the name Hashem. You know, we're used to saying Hashem, Hashem, understanding that those are the words that the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that when he revealed the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, he repeated the name Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, twice. However, there are other opinions that say that's not how to punctuate the Pasuk. Instead, they say the way to punctuate the Pasuk is Vayavar Hashem Aponov, Hashem passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayikra Hashem, and then Hashem called, open quotes, Hashem Keo Rachum V'chanun. So that the first Hashem is just the subject of the sentence, and the second Hashem is the actual content of what it was that Hashem said. Certainly our tefillos don't reflect that. When we use the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim in our davening, we kind of assume that Hashem, Hashem is repeated twice. That's the context, that's the content of what was said, not simply that the first Hashem is Vayikra Hashem, that Hashem called out. And the trup also reflects that interpretation that Hashem is repeated twice. Vayavar Hashem alpana Vayikra kama Hashem Hashem keorachum v'chanun. Okay? And we'll see that Chazal and the Gemara also assume that Hashem Hashem is the content of what was said, and that's as well the way the Sfarno presents it as well. Vayikra hakel yisbarach, in his words, the Sfarno says, Vayikra, and he called out, refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the content of what he called out was Hashem Hashem. But all of this, of course, leads us to ask the question, okay, if the content of what he called out was Hashem Hashem, so then why indeed repeat the Shem Hashem? Why is that? Why is it necessary to repeat the name Yud Kei Vav Kei twice? So the Gemara asks this in Rosh Hashanah, and the Gemara says that one Hashem is Kodem HaChet, before the sin, and the second Hashem is la'achar achet, after the sin. The idea being, obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself doesn't change, but the same way God shows mercy, the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the attribute of God's divine mercy, the same way Hashem shows mercy to the person prior to the person sinning, so too Hashem maintains that same attribute of mercy even after the person has sinned. That's the way the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah explains the repetition of the name Hashem. The Sfarno has a very different take. And again, the Sfarno is not obligated to follow that particular opinion in the Gemara. Sfarno has a different interpretation of the repetition of Hashem Hashem as follows. Hashem Hashem, Hu Amamtzi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator. Sha'asa Eino Yeshno, He creates something out of nothing. And as we'll see in a moment, that's the meaning of the first Shem Hashem. Hashem is the creator. The second Shem Hashem, Vehu HaMekayim Mitzius Kol Nimtza, God maintains the existence of every creature. She'ein L'shum Nimtza Kiyum Mitzius, because nothing in this world is maintained or exists, Zulasi Hashofeya Mimitziuso, without HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly being Shofeya, inspiring and pouring down the ability to live into this creature, into this person or animal or plant or whatever it happens to be. In other words, says the Sfarno, the repetition of Hashem Hashem is not so much about God's mercy per se, but it's telling us something about the theology of how we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God created the world and God continues to create the world. We've spoken about this in a different context earlier in the Sfarno. Judaism, not just the Sfarno, but Judaism as a whole, is utterly opposed to the notion that was popular about 300 years ago that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to the world is like that of a watchmaker to a watch. The watchmaker, they said, some people said, creates the watch, he winds up the watch, then he walks away, and the watch continues to tick on its own. So that is absolutely the opposite of everything that we believe about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship with the world. If we want to use the analogy of the watch, the way the world works, according to us, is that the watch needs the watchmaker to constantly wind it in order for it to work. It's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made existence out of nothing way back when. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in every moment of our existence, is constantly giving us the fuel to continue to live. As Reb Chaim Volozhin says in his Nefesh HaChaim, that's what we say in davening every single day, HaMechadesh B'tuvo, B'chol Yom Tomid, Ma'isa Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews every single day the creation of the world around us. Every single second, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly recreating the world. So that's Hashem, Hashem. There's Hashem who made us originally, and there's Hashem who keeps us going. And that's why it's necessary to repeat that Shem Hashem, because there are different dimensions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's relationship to the creation of the world. You say, in what sense is that a midas harachamim? In what sense is that an attribute of mercy? Well, it's a tremendous kindness and an act of mercy that God created us to begin with. And it's a tremendous kindness and an act of mercy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to keep us alive every single second. So it's important for us to acknowledge that, before we can get started. We then describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kel. Hashem Hashem Kel Rachum V'chanun. Kel means that God is powerful. And again, we've said this in different contexts, the word El, even not when describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, denotes power. Lavan says to Yaakov Avinu, Yesh le'el yodi, lasos imochem ra. I have in the power of my hand to do evil to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yochol al zeh kimo poel ritzoni. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does chesed to us stems from power, not from an inability to do things. Al hepech ha'pa'ula hanimshechus min ha'po'al ha'tivi. It's not just a natural reaction. You know, there's certain things in life that just happen naturally on their own. Right? In other words, if you were to take an apple and bite into it, and you're able to swallow the apple, you wouldn't say it's an act of chesed on the part of the apple. That's just the way that it functions. You know, you're just following the laws of nature. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the power to give chesed, and he has the power to withhold chesed. So when he gives us chesed as an act of free will on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part, that's something that's important for us to acknowledge. He's kale. He's capable of giving the chesed. He's capable of not giving us the chesed. Important for us to realize that, you know, it's not like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, you know, just a machine that you push a button and automatically chesed is going to come out. Sometimes we have that vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, people who say, I davened to Hashem and he didn't give me what I asked for. If you think about it, what that statement really is saying that I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a machine. Right? I go to the machine, I push the button, you know, a soda machine. I mean, again, soda machines don't always work. But, you know, I put in the, here in the Lower East Side, 50 cents, and you know, the soda didn't come out. A chutzpah. This is the way it's supposed to work. Every time I put in the 50 cents, the soda is supposed to come out. Every time I dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm supposed to get the result that I want. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. Hashem is kale. He has the power. He has the power to give it. He has the power to withhold it. And it's important for us to acknowledge that. He's rachum. He's compassionate. What does that mean? Alach hayovim. He has compassion on those who really deserve punishment. Lahokel onshom bekarom elov. But when people who deserve punishment call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he lessens their punishment. That's compassion, rachum. V'chanun, and he shows grace. What does that mean? Osechein v'gomel tov l'sho'alim. For those who ask for God's benevolence, he gives it to them. Afal pi she'enam ru'uyim lo. Even in cases where they don't deserve his grace. It's interesting to note, with regard to both of these descriptions of Hashem, he's rachum and chanun, meaning he's compassionate, he lessens punishment even when you don't necessarily deserve the punishment to be lessened, and he gives out good things, he's benevolent, even when we're not deserving of his benevolence. That's rachum v'chanun. The Sfarno stresses the same idea in both descriptions, in rachum v'chanun. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does these things when we ask him to do these things. You have to ask. You have to ask. Because after all, if you're not really deserving, you're not deserving of a leniency in punishment, or you're not deserving of a matnas chinam, you're not deserving of some benefit from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you don't really deserve, so then why on earth should HaKadosh Baruch Hu give it to you? And the answer is, you have to ask. If you ask, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes, not always, but sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will grant your request, but you have to ask. It's important to ask. He's Erech HaPayim. He's patient. Latzadikim. He's patient to Tzadikim. V'l'Rishoyim Kadesh Yoshuvu. He's even patient with Rishoyim, with wicked people, so that they do tshuva. V'Rav Chesed. And he has an abundance of kindness. What does that mean? Matei klape chesed bedino. Here the Sfarno does quote Chazal, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Yud Zayin Omer Aleph, where the Gemara describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu grades us, so to speak, on a curve. I'm a teacher. You probably remember getting graded on a curve. Maybe it was a big curve, you know. You got a 45 on the test and somehow that became an A-. I should sign up for my class. We do this all the time. You know, but so that's Rav Chesed, Mate Kalapi Chesed. God leans his judgment in the direction of kindness. He prejudices us in the direction of kindness. Right? He quotes the Gemara, Mavir Rishon Rishon. We talk about this in our davening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocks off the first couple of sins from the top you know, and he judges us a little bit more favorably than we really deserve to be judged. And yet, ve'emes, and truth. So the Sfarno understands over here that the word virav, and that God has an abundance of, goes on both chesed and emes. Meaning, virav chesed ve'emes really means Hashem is rav chesed, and he's rav emes. This doesn't mean that he got smicha from two different places, right? But rather it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu has an abundance of chesed, an abundance of kindness, but he also has an abundance of truth. What does it mean to have an abundance of truth? So, he quotes the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is marich ape, he is patient, but vigave delay. But God extracts punishment when it's deserved. Meaning, at the very same time that we're describing God as being compassionate and, you know, cutting us slack, it would be wrong to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as just letting everything go. Gemara in Bava Kamma quotes, If anyone who says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just lets things slide, yivatru chayov. So his life will be allowed to just be let slide. You know, in other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just, it's not a pushover. He's rav emes. He has a tremendous amount of truth. Truth over here meaning, on some level, you will get what you deserve. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be swayed, you know, to the nth degree. Yes, he introduces an element of compassion into his judgment. He introduces an element of mercy into his judgment. But, you know, there's only so much that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is willing to do. I can grade you on a curve and give you extra points, but, you know, if you don't show up to the class and you don't take the final, I'm not going to give you an A. It's just, it doesn't work like that. Yeah.
Would the Sforno say that human beings can divine Hashem's cheshbonos with people?
No, so I don't think anyone would say that we can fully understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's cheshbonos. Not the Sforno, not anybody else. I think what the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachem are providing for us, again, both according to the Sforno as well as to other Mefarshim, is they're giving us general principles in understanding how HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. You know, the details of how that works out, those are beyond us. But in general terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is merciful when he judges us. In general terms, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, will forgive sins. But in general terms, it's also true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu isn't just going to, like, sweep everything under the carpet. He's Rav Emes. He has much truth in how he deals with people. And that he goes on to say, Ka'amram asher lo yisa panim. The Pasuk says, in Devarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show favoritism. And the expression that the Sfarno quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin is as follows, Ein Avram matzil Yishmael. Even Avram Avinu can't save a Yishmael, v'lo Yitzchok matzil es Esav. And even a Yitzchok can't save an Esav. Meaning, in the end of the day, I don't care who you're connected to. You know, my father's Avram Avinu. Yeah, but you're Yishmael. My father is Yitzchok Avinu. Yeah, but you're Esav. You know, in the end of the day, there's only so much that you can ask of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you yourself are not willing to step up to the plate and do what's right. And quotes the Gemara in Sota, Ein mitzvah mechaba aveira. A mitzvah does not extinguish an aveira. You know, you point to all the mitzvahs that you did, and that's great, and you'll get rewarded for them, but they don't wipe away the aveiros that a person did either. That's Rav Emes. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the end of the day, is going to hold us accountable for what we do. He might cut us some slack, but cutting some slack is not the same thing is throwing everything out the window. The next pasuk continues, the second part of the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is notzer chesed la'alofim. he guards his kindness for thousands of generations. He shomer schus avos labonim, that is to say, says the Svarno, he holds on to the merit of the fathers for the sons, and he's nose avon vafesha v'chata'a. God bears avon, pesha, and chata'a. Different synonyms for sin. So what's the difference between these synonyms? Obviously, they're not exactly the same thing, because then we wouldn't, you know, need three words in the Chumash to describe them. So the Sfarno's take is somewhat different than the way these three terms are generally understood. He starts off in a conventional way. No, say avon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bears avon. What's avon? Mezid, intentional sin. Good. That's the standard interpretation. Vofesha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bears pesha. What's pesha? Merid b'malchus, rebellion against God's kingship. That's also the standard interpretation of pesha. Meaning, you know, an avon is a sin, but a pesha is a sin of rebellion. What does that mean? Avon means I'm walking down the street, I'm famished, the only thing that's available to eat is a cheeseburger. I'm fundamentally a frum person, but I can't withstand the temptation, and I give in and I eat the cheeseburger. That's avon. Pesha means there are 20 kosher restaurants on the block, but I want to show that I'm rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I go to the one Trefa restaurant and I get a cheeseburger. That's Pesha. That's even worse than Avon. Then there's Chata'a. Now, the truth is, the Gemara seems to indicate that Chata'a is the least severe of these three terms. That Chet is usually understood to be a Shogeg, a sin which is committed somewhat unintentionally. The problem with that interpretation, the Gemara already notes this, is that then the three terms are out of sequence, right? Avon is less than Pesha, so you would expect that Chata'a would be more than Pesha, right? That it's building up, Avon, Pesha, and then Chata'a. So that's the way the Sfarno interprets it. Hach'asa nosefes al hamered. It's causing HaKadosh Baruch, it's causing anger on the part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even beyond rebellion. So you say, what on earth would do that? I mean, what could be worse than Pesha? So he quotes something which we spoke about the other day, and what he says the other day in the context of the Eger will help us understand the Sfarno's understanding of Chata'a. Ki inyan, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, Yud Aleph, ki ra'esi, ki ra'asechi, oz ta'alozi. You rejoiced over the fact that you sinned. So that rejoicing, not just that I rebelled against Hashem, I rejoiced over the fact that I rebelled against Hashem. That rejoicing is called chata'a, and that's even worse than just a pesha by itself. We had mentioned that the other day, because the Sfarno says the anger that the Ribbono Shel Olam, and by extension Moshe Rabbeinu, felt after the Chet HaEgel was not even so much because of the sin of the Egel, but because of the Mecholos, because of the dancing. And he quoted that pasuk from Yirmiyahu. Not only did you sin, you rejoiced in the sinning. So according to the Sfarno, that would be an example of chata'a, not just rebelling, but rejoicing, taking pride and happiness in the rebellion against Hashem. And indeed, that's what the Pasuk says earlier in the Sedra. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ana chata ha'am hazeh chata'a gedola. They have sinned a great chata'a. What's a great chata'a? It wasn't a shogeg. It wasn't something they did by accident. It was chata'a, which according to the Sfarno is the ultimate kind of sin, rejoicing in an act of rebellion. That's avon, pesha, v'chata'a in ascending order of difficulty. So these are three different midos. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives avon, that he forgives pesha, that he forgives chata'a, Ein nesias ha'echad ki nesias ha'acher. You can't assume that just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives one, that he's going to forgive the other. V'lachen yimanu l'midos nifrados. And that's why they're counted separately. The next midah is v'nake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cleanses, he wipes away the sin. What does that refer to? So writes the Sfarno, Af al pi shehu menake l'shovim me'ahava. This refers to somebody who does tshuva out of love. If you do tshuva out of love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu erases the sin, and in fact he transforms the sin, as Chazal tell us, into a source of merit. That Chazal say, Avonos nasus lo kizchuyos. When a person does tshuva out of love, the averos are transformed into sources of merit. However, that works exactly. That's v'nakei. But then, of course, the pasuk goes on to say, v'nakei lo yinakeh. It's almost like a contradiction. He cleanses the sin, he doesn't cleanse the sin. So what's that all about? So the Sfarno, again, differently from the way Chazal understand it, right? If you look in the Targum Onkelos and Rashi, they quote more of Chazal's interpretation. We don't have time for that right now. I just want to focus on the Sfarno. The Sfarno writes, Mikomokom lo yinakeh afilu lashovim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't totally erase the sin, even for those who do tshuva. Kasher tia tshuvasam yiras onesh bilvad. Lo yinakeh is talking about when a person does tshuva, not out of love, but out of fear of punishment. And there, although HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts the tshuva, he doesn't erase the sin. The sin is still on the ledger, it's still on the books, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, he lessens the punishment, he accepts the tshuva, but, you know, it's not quite the same as tshuva me'ava. So, nakeh is tshuva me'ava, lo yinakeh is tshuva me'ira, and that's how you can understand these particular midos. There's more to talk about. Time is running a little bit past us, so Be'ez Hashem will have an opportunity at some point to continue discussing, and certainly people have the opportunity on their own to look into the beautiful comments of the Sfarno on the Yud Gimel Midos Terachamim. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Rabbi Chananah ben